HKX and 0TR. Or HKX and 0TR. Roy and 0TR clear.
Five.
GLI and 0TR. Remember the call, can't remember the name. I just had a bucket full of anesthesia, so I guess that's why. The name here is Tom. I'm in Greer.
Roger, Tom. My name is Bart. Bravo, Alpha, Romeo, Tango. I'm up at the Cradle Cisco Mountain here.
On a certain mountain up there, but you're getting into the repeater. It's a little scratchy. Sounds like a handy talkie.
No, it's actually 2YT9800, but I've got the antenna pointed in another direction.
Could you give me your name again? I'm not in too good a shape. And it doesn't have to be phonetically, just your name.
My name is Bart Bravo Alpha Romeo Tango.
Okay. Black Bart from the old Western movies. You're probably too young to remember that.
I'm watching Death Valley Days right now on TV, so I'm not too young.
You're a good man. I love Death Valley Days. What station's it on right now?
Well, I don't know. It's something I get to hear all over the air, but on Hulu or something, I don't know. I usually watch The Rifleman in the afternoon.
Well, Bart, I love that. And there's 20 wheels in there. Well, I just got home from open heart surgery. I had three bypasses, and it hurts like the dickens. And I just had to sit down. But before I went and had those bypasses done, which is, they call it a cabbage. It's not really open heart. They salvage your veins from your legs, of course, and put them in there. I set this little radio station up with a mic mount antenna here in the front room and bought a little switchboard transformer for it. And I'd had the radio for a long time. So I'm proud that it's working out. But I got sore spots on my backside from laying in that stupid bed and they didn't do nothing. That I can't understand the way here now. I can't win for losing. What are you doing up that way? You live up there or are you just hiking or something?
We volunteer here at the Cradle of Forestry up here. We come up in April and leave in November. We're running volunteers here at the Cradle of Forestry.
In what, again, please?
The Cradle of Forestry.
Something with forestry, my wife said. But it was a little scratchy. But it sounds like a beautiful place up there. I've only been up in the mountains there a couple of times. We moved down here 15 years ago from Kansas.
Where are you at right now, over?
Located between Lake Robinson and Lake Cunningham, up here in Greer, South Carolina.
And so I know where it is. My son lives in near Columbia, South Carolina.
Used to have to drive down to the VA hospital there, 125 miles, and it was a beautiful drive down 26 until you got within 30 miles of Columbia. And then all the crazies would come out.
Yeah, that is very true. I drive down to Columbia quite often to visit him and so forth. My VA is in Tallahassee, Florida, so I get all my chemicals and have it shipped up here to me.
Is you in, Bart?
I flew helicopters in the United States Air Force in Vietnam.
Yeah. You got more guts than a packing house. I used to be sitting on the tarmac waiting to fly, and I flew in the P-3 Orions in those big double rotating helicopters. Well, I'm not sure if there's the single or the doubles. The double ones, you'd see them going over with artillery pieces hanging down below them or armored personnel carriers and stuff like that. But the one big one would come in, and he had a like a great big fish net hanging down below it. and he'd drop it down between the airplanes on the tarmac. And then guys would come out and pick it up, and that was the mail.
Yeah, I remember those days. I flew UH-1s over there, S&P model, which were gunships, the Air Force gunships.
Very familiar with them. I never flew in them, but boy, they have a distinct sound. And I just felt sorry for those guys in those helicopters because, good Lord, they knew you was coming long before you ever got there.
That's the reason I flew about 25 to 30 feet off the top of the tree level so they wouldn't have time to shoot at me.
This is N0TR. Well, we did a lot of low-level stuff. We did ship reconnaissance on Yankee Team and ship reconnaissance on Marken Time and flew up and down the coast from China. We was at Cameron Bay, and then if we flew Yankee Team, we'd go north up to Korea in that area. I really don't know. I just, most of the time, I ran radar because there wasn't any submarines to chase there for some reason. And it's been 50-some years ago, and I forget. But that was my job, was to kill Russian submarines, I guess you'd say.
That's a good job. I'll take that job anytime. I flew out of Cameron and was stationed at Cameron. I was stationed at Tuluwa, and we flew out of Bamatuit and up there.
This is I've never heard of. We had a F-4 Prickly's bombs on the runway one day, and they just bounced down the runway, of course, go up to Chulai, and the second we landed at Chulai, well, then they started throwing mortars at our squadron's planes up there. And so you think, well, no, we better go to Plan B, and we fly back down to Cameron, because we were unarmed.
I like Cameron. I like the station there. Bamatuit was a Green Beret special ops base there and it was nice, but I like Cameron better. A lot more things to do in Cameron and to see.
It was pretty secure at the time I was there in 68. But they'd break the perimeter now and then, but not too often. But it was a big base. One of the oddest things I've ever seen was not at Cameron. I'd never been overseas like that, and we come flying in to Sangley Point in the Philippines, and I got a zillion contacts on my radar scope, and I thought, what'd we do, lose a magnetron or something? I didn't know what it was. Captain said, come up to the cockpit, Rouse, and so I went up to the cockpit, and it was all those little sampans, I guess you call them, fishing boats, and they had those D-span lights hanging over the side of them. There were literally hundreds of them out there.
Yeah, that's the way it was then. I remember flying into Cameron all the time and watching the sampans when I came in.
Them were 100 feet in the daytime and 300 feet at night. So they're a little dicey at times, but not like chopper pilots. Although I swear I've seen water coming up on the props at times.
I like flying trail, too. I wanted to be the last one in the trail because I didn't want somebody running into me in a helicopter.
Yeah, they had, I think the F-111s over there used that nap of the Earth radar at the time. But I wasn't around those, never saw them. And the 52s were over in Utapau.
I remember the 52s being Utapau, but we didn't have any 52s. We had 100s and 101s and so forth at Cameron.
Sure, those were hot rods. And we had, I didn't know, I wasn't in that squadron, but they had quite a few F-4s there, and that was something to see. I think that's about the time that it was going from green and brown to gray and black, I guess you'd call it. But they had some of those, when first time we landed, there was a squadron of OV-10s all lined up there in a row, and I'll never forget the sight of that. I thought, boy, those guys were gutsy like you fellas in the helicopters, because they were Ford controllers, you know, air controllers, FACs, I think they call them.
Yeah, I got to fly back to Cameron one time and from BMT in an OV-10 when I caught malaria up there, and that was a good little flight. I liked that plane. I liked the OV-10.
So pressurized and air conditioned. They were air conditioned, I know that. So I assume they weren't pressurized.
No, they weren't pressurized at all. They were just little puddle jumper like planes, okay, but they could fly fast.
Twin booms, twin turboprops. One of my bosses in civilian life had got to fly in the back seat of one a few times, and he really liked them. Mark Herford was his name, but he was a Marine at the time, and I never knew anybody else that flew them. I did see some strange-looking P-2V Neptunes that the CIA had converted, and they were trying out the very first infrared radar, or infrared sensing equipment on those ever invented, I guess. And you weren't supposed to go near that hangar at all, but it was something to see that old plane converted to that. It was converted to draw ground fire.
That's what they did. When I was got out of Vietnam, I went back to Moody Air Force Base in Valdosta, Georgia, and flew HH-43s. It was a syncropter with two main rotor blades, no tail rotor, to rescue helicopters.
Friend that lives across from my daughter's here, and he flew the big, I think they call them the Stallions, the ones with the dual rotors in Afghanistan. That's all that guy knows. He's a retired lieutenant colonel, but he just doesn't care much about anything else. But he works at Lowe's now. Very brilliant guy. He's very, very smart. But he can tell you some tales that make the hair on the back of his neck stand up over in, I think he was in Afghanistan.
I was rather being in Vietnam than it would Afghanistan. Wouldn't like that place at all.
Helicopters at the number of feet above sea level over there would not have been nearly as efficient as they would have been down there at South Vietnam.
Yeah, we had a lot of days that there was so much heat and humidity in the air that we had to make the crew chiefs and door gunners run alongside the helicopter while I got translational lift.
Did you ever go into Rasmus in one of those on landing?
Never did. I would always wanted to, but I never did do that.
From rumors from my friends that the dang helicopter would fly into pieces.
Aircraft carrier, too. Never got to do that.
Yeah, now I was on the USS Bennington for a year and a half in an S-2 squadron. They were Lebanese, and we carried 765 gallons of 115, 145. I think they were 1525 horse. It's a hoot getting shot off a carrier, or I don't know. Getting shot off's easy. Landing, and that's a different story.
Yeah, I always wanted to try to land on a carrier, but I never got a chance. Well, I better get going and do some things around here. Great talking to you, and thank you for your service. And we will talk again. I'm on about 24 hours a day on this frequency, so if you get bored or something, give me a call. KM4, GLI, clear after you. 73.
Pleasure's all mine, Bart. I would ask you one question. Did you ever see the picture, well, it was at the Greenville Center, the old one, of a C-130 that they landed on a CVA carrier?
I did see that, and I got to fly a lot of times on the C-130, That's probably the greatest plane we ever had right there, along with the B-52. C-130 is a great plane.
Our nephew, Steve, he flew C-130s and was in the, I don't know if it was the first, Bernice, was his first or second Gulf War. I think, yeah, it was the first one, 1991, and he became an aircraft commander in it, but now he flies internationally in 787s, so the Air Force really sent him on a good career. You can't imagine what a captain gets paid, a full captain on a 787 nowadays, but...
Yeah, I was flying up here somewhere down in Southwest Florida, I think it was, and got on a plane, and I had my 20th SOS Green Hornet hat on, and the pilot said, "Hey, you're the Green Hornet?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, come up here in the cockpit. I want to show you around." So he took me on the cockpit. I got to flip a couple of switches, probably jumped a black water tank or something, you know. And the little stewardess, flight attendant, she came up to me and says, "We can take off, Captain, as soon as he comes back to his seat." And he just turned around and says, "Jennifer, I'm the captain. I'll tell you when we're going to take off."
And they are. They're very much in command. Steve just bought 32 acres at 8,000 feet out in Colorado. He retires in a year and a half. They make a little over $500,000 a year now. A little out of my pay grade. But he's a wonderful nephew. He's just a farm kid from Wichita, Kansas. And we love him very dearly. And his wife just had a heart transplant. And she's doing just fine. They're up there hiking and riding the expensive bicycles and competitions and stuff. And it's just amazing what that boy's done. I'm so proud of him. But, yeah, he sent me a picture of the grid points going into South Korea a couple of years ago, and I got that on my phone. And he said, "Tom," he said, you just don't want to go into that one part." And it was real clouded up and a lot of contacts there. And I said, "Why not?" And he says, "That's North Korea."
Yeah, that'd be a bad thing to go into. You're right. Well, I got to get going and find something to fix for dinner here. Get a chance to come up to North Carolina to the Cradle of Forestry and visit us up here. We'd love to have you up here. AM4, GLI, after your final.
Okay, Bart, I had a lot of fun, and you made me feel better, buddy. God bless you for your service, and thanks for talking to me for a little while. I feel a little better now. Yeah, I just can't hardly sit here, but you took my mind off of things. I just got out a few hours ago. Take care. This is N02R73. Have a good day.
N02R. It's KO4PXB. How you doing, sir?
Gordon, how you doing, buddy? This is N0TR.
Yep, doing good. Brought my felt hat and rain jacket and ran through a downpour. So how's everything going in your part of the world?
They was going to send me to a rehab center there a few hours ago, and I told them I don't want no more part of this hospital stuff. I want to go home. You know, I was surprised. Usually they don't listen. But I'm at home. I just had triple bypass, Lloyd. And I had some problems. I went into AFib and a few things like that. But I guess I'm doing all right now. I'm awful weak.
Yeah, any kind of bypass is tough on the body. It'll... It's one of the effects and a surgery will make you tired real quick. Just putting socks or tying your shoes or doing the simplest things it makes you exhausted to get everything, kind of strength built back up with rehab.
Well, you're confirming my suspicions about it anyways, Lloyd. How's your day going? You working out there and going on calls?
No, sir. I got off at 5:30 today. I work at Honeywell doing their IT support, so there's pretty much zero travel in that one.
Honeywell, helicopters, right?
Yes, they make the airplane, the turbine jet parts for the helicopters and some planes and stuff like that. So, yeah, they mainly do the helicopter parts for the CH-48 Chinook. And they also do it for the M1 Abrams, so it's pretty cool.
So, and did they make you go through clearances before you could ever even come in there?
Yes, I had to be vetted, and it worked out pretty well because I had a security clearance from active duty, so that just made it a lot easier.
It was Army, wasn't you, Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
You telling me that. Well, thank you for your service. We've talked about that, but they say for every hour you're knocked out on these surgeries, you lose 100 hours of memory. It takes 100 hours to get it back. I'm believing it, Lloyd, so if I repeat myself, I got an excuse. I had 5.5 hours of it.
Yeah, you definitely take it easy and try not to let the chickens lay too many eggs where they bother you, where you have to go out there and do a lot for them.
Bernice here. By the way, there's more storms moving in. I think it's raining right now pretty good, Bernice. And I thought we got weather stations in each of the rooms here, and I thought I saw where one was, about an inch, huh? So it was needed. But it looks like pretty jaunty-looking storms, shall we say, that were yellow and such instead of just like green Virga. But I really haven't had much time to study anything. I've been trying to get business things straightened out on the computer, pay a few bills and stuff like that. But and read the emails, of course. I can get a lot of them. But at any rate, hope to meet you someday, Lloyd. I'm going to sign because I'm starting to hurt pretty good. But the pleasure's all mine, Lloyd. And you have a good rest of the day and safe, most of all. Hail for PXP and Zilchar.
All right, sir, please be careful. It's KO4PXB. Hope I get it right. KO4EZW is KO4PXB.
KO4ZEW, Kilo Oscar 4 Zulu Echo Whiskey. This is Ben, as in Benjamin. I know Tom's kind of taking it easy, but I just wanted to throw a little quick shout out and say, Tom, glad you're through it and you're on the recovery. We're all praying and hoping that you get better quickly.
I know he appreciates that. He probably turned the radio off and went to go lay down because definitely that will take a lot out of you.
Ben, but I can't stay. But thank you, sir. Your thoughts are really appreciated. Enjoyed you.
So, how you doing, Lloyd? Just another day? It's been a while since I talked to you. I guess you're mobile on the way home?
Sir, I'm coming up on the disaster road of Woodruff and Highway 14.
And the 14 of Woodruff, the light that... That's like a 4-minute traffic light if you're on 14. It's ridiculous. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep, I have timed it. It lasts 13 seconds if you're on Highway 14. And it'll last about 2.5 minutes if you're on Woodruff Road.
Yeah, that's insane. You'd think the traffic engineers would be able to figure something else out about that. But, I don't know. Anything else going well?
sir. All's going well.
Cool. Very cool. I was, there was an opening in 6 meter this morning, so I grabbed it for a little while, and I've not made many contacts on 6 meter because I just got an antenna specifically for it, a loop, doing a horizontal loop, and it's been up in the attic for only about a week or two, and finally got a clearing, and was able to run it, and it did really well. So that was cool. I had to wait for an opening in the band because 10, 6 meter have been so finicky lately. But yeah, it was very cool.
I'm glad you were excited about that one.
You gotta take it when you can, especially when it comes to HF.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the rain is helping it any or just kind of helping the atmosphere clear out some.
We had a pretty nasty solar storm this weekend, and so that's why when I saw an opening, I was like, oh, cool, I get to, actually use the HF. But I did log into a couple of HF nets earlier in the week, the Century Club 3905 and they call themselves the Rare Ones of New Orleans. So those were a couple good groups, and that was on, I don't know, 40 and 20.
What kind of radio are you using for your HF?
I'm running an ICOM 7300 barefoot.
Yep. That's one of the two radios that I'm looking at to get into the HF world. Hadn't, as they say, because this is not a cheap hobby, and I gotta find a way to get the antennas, hidden from the HOA. I know there's stuff you can put in your attic and different places, so that's definitely what I'm working on. I'm gonna have that game plan squared away first before I get a radio.
That's absolutely a good way to do it. I'm still kind of struggling with that myself because I moved about a month ago and I'm in an HOA. So I've got some stuff up in the attic and I've got a little 18-gauge black wire end-fed half-wave just kind of going out the window right now, 67-footer. So I've got 10 through 40, but I'm struggling with 80. So I've got to kind of puzzle that one out on how I'm going to get on 80 meters with it. But it's practically invisible once you get it up in the air.
Lloyd, why don't you use copper-clad steel? That's pretty invisible. Or I like to use that copper-clad steel that's, I think it's 7-strand. It's really tough, but I think it might show more. It's insulated with black insulation in 0GR.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, the biggest thing is also I do not have any trees around my house to hide that.
Go ahead, Ben.
Where I lived before, I had a flagpole in the front yard, so I ran to the flagpole, so it was kind of invisible, but the nice thing about the flagpole, I know you can put a vertical in them and all that stuff, but you can tie your wire onto the clip, and you can raise and lower your wire using the pulley at the top of the flagpole, so if you need to only use it temporarily, you can haul it up, use it, haul it back down, or you can just leave it up there, but that worked out for me really well, and it was easy for maintenance because, there was no climbing involved. I would just haul the little wire up the flagpole. I still had the clips for the flag, and then I just had a third one that would hold the HF wire.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into that because I saw that there was the flagpole antennas, but the one they showed you had a lot of radials to put in the ground and my sidewalk, my flagpole, not from the sidewalk, so there'd be no way to get the radials run out and the pattern that they needed it. But for something that actually runs up the flagpole, it'd allow it to use. I could probably look at doing that. Then I'd have to definitely try not to stress out the wife by making the antenna visible inside the house.
That's another can. You got to kind of get creative with that. And I ran through a couple of closets. So in the back of them, I cut some little holes and I put some one-inch PVC through the ceilings and floors. And then the one in the attic, once I ran my wires through the one-inch PVC, I stuffed a sock in it to insulate it. And it worked pretty well, kept everything out of sight.
Yep, I'll definitely, of course, being military-minded and IT-minded, I pretty much get a game plan together before I go and go do something. And my wife says sometimes I analyze things to death.
That's a really, really good way about going about things, about most things, actually. But you do have to work out, watch out for analysis paralysis, because you don't want perfect to be the enemy of done.
Yep, that's probably happened, before with me.
Yeah, I've been there, done that with a couple things, certain things, especially if I'm doing, renovations. Like tiling a bathroom, I'm like, it has to be perfect or I'm going to stare at that little flaw in the tile and I'll have to just totally live with it and it'll just bug me. So sometimes perfect can really hold you back.
And I'm now in the driveway, so I'll say 73 to another time. It's KO4PXB.
Glad you got home safely, and until next time, Kilo Oscar 4 Zulu Echo Whiskey, I will be clear.